The early 1960s were a tumultuous time in the U.S. There had been efforts to desegregate many different types of public spaces. In May 1961, the Congress of Racial Equality, or CORE, decided it was time to challenge segregation on interstate buses. The Freedom Riders risked their lives and changed the course of American history. A new book profiles some of the Freedom Riders through personal interviews, including one man from Wisconsin. B.J. Hollers is an associate professor of English at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. He's the author of several books on the history of race relations in the U.S. His most recent is The Road South, Personal Stories of the Freedom Riders. He joins us now from our WPR studios in Eau Claire. B.J., thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
B.J., in hindsight, the Freedom Ride has become this legendary moment in American history. Take us back to just before it happened. It was this risky, daring, uncertain outcome event.
Absolutely. Basically what happened was in the summer of 1961, a group of folks, black, white, young, old, northern and southern, got together on these interstate buses to test a few Supreme Court rulings. And they were met with bombs and beatings and even imprisonment along the way.
And the buses themselves, federal law, federal courts had integrated them officially. You weren't supposed to be able to enforce segregation laws at the local level on interstate buses. That wasn't happening, though. Segregation was still a reality.
That's exactly it. The key is interstate buses. And so the 1946 Morgan versus Virginia ruling made it very clear that this was unconstitutional. And then later, the 1960 ruling, Boynton versus Virginia, went even further to say the bus terminals, too, couldn't be segregated. And so the Freedom Riders really set out to test both of these rulings to see if local law enforcement would do their jobs.
And BJ, before we pick up their story, what led you to follow their path and ultimately to try to find and interview some of those Freedom Riders?
You know, I was having dinner with a friend here in Eau Claire one night, and he said to me, "Have you heard of Jim Zwerg?" And so I kind of went through my mental Rolodex trying to figure out if I did know Jim Zwerg. It sounded very familiar. And then when he said, you know, the Freedom Rider, it all came into sharp focus. A lot of folks may know Jim Zwerg's picture, even if you don't know his name. He was a tall white man from Appleton, Wisconsin, whose picture was on the front page of many national newspapers in May of 1961 after being beaten in Mount Montgomery. And so here were Wisconsin folks sitting down for breakfast, looking up at the newspaper and realizing, hey, a neighbor, a friend, someone from down the street, he's involved in this too, and maybe we should all take notice.
Let's follow Jim's story a little bit. From Appleton, as you said, a student at Beloit College, he shows up at school to meet his roommates.
That's correct. And one of his roommates is a guy named Bob Carter, who happened to be African-American. And so Jim and Bob became friends. They played basketball together. They walked around town together. And as their relationship grew, Jim began to realize that his friend wasn't being treated equally. And he couldn't quite get a handle on why that was. And so Bob introduced him to Martin Luther King's work, and Jim became very invested in the civil rights movement, so much so that he actually went to Fisk University and did an exchange program there, which is when he got involved in the movement.
And talk about how he got involved in that movement. What steps led along the way there?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of one thing led to another. So he was first in Nashville and noticing this group of folks picketing a movie theater. And that was curious to them. He'd never seen that before. So he went up to the man at the back of the line and asked him, you know, what are you guys doing? Turned out that man was a future seatmate of his on the Freedom Rides, John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis. And so he befriended John Lewis and began to integrate the movie theaters alongside these folks. And then shortly after, grew into becoming a Freedom Rider himself.
Talking to B.J. Hollers from UW-Eau Claire. His new book is The Road South, Personal Stories of the Freedom Riders. He shares stories of people involved in the Freedom Ride, including one participant from Wisconsin. We're keying in on his story now, Jim Zwerg from Appleton originally. B.J., again, looking at it in hindsight, often it seems like the story is told that there is this protest movement, America United behind it. There are just a few bad guys pushing back against it. In reality, somebody like Jim faced a lot of pushback from his own family back here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And that's kind of an overlooked part of the civil rights movement generally, is kind of how families were sometimes divided as a result of the actions of one family member. And so while the Zwerg family was actually very progressive, they lived in Appleton. His father was a dentist and did quite a bit of free dental work to help folks and that sort of thing. When it came to putting their son's life on the line, to having their son call them up 3 days before leaving and saying, "I'm getting on this bus, I may not come back, but I need to do it," that really tore the family apart a bit. His father had just had a heart attack. His mother, the last thing she said to him before hanging up the phone that night was, "You're going to kill your father." And it wasn't the send-off that Jim's work helped for or hoped for, to say the least, but it reaffirmed for him the importance of what he was doing.
And you mentioned a life on the line. We know a lot of people were attacked, met with bombs and assault, as you mentioned. And in that theater protest, Jim and one of his companions walked into the theater and were knocked unconscious, a hit from behind. That was their first experience with violence.
That's exactly right. That was Jim's introduction to violence. And of course, it wouldn't be the last time he faced it. Jim often talks about kind of the way Klansmen would attack. And oftentimes the white male was the primary target because he was a traitor to the race. And so Jim very much got the brunt of the violence right alongside John Lewis, right alongside so many others on May 20th in Montgomery there. But again, it was his photograph, this white college-age kid in suit and tie, blood dripping down from his face, that really, I think, woke white America up.
And you mentioned years later, Jim's work talked about being at an event, looking back, commemorating the Freedom Ride, and seeing that picture, that famous picture of him.
Absolutely. And he had this moment because as a result of his injuries, he wasn't able to continue the ride himself. And one of his fellow Freedom Riders said, "Jim, you were with us the whole way. You inspired us to keep going." And so it was a very moving moment for him. And he got pretty emotional about that.
I focused for most of our talk here on this Wisconsin participant you profile. But can you talk about some of the common experiences of all the people you talk to get their stories about the Freedom Rides?
Absolutely. You know, one thing that really stands out is this incredible humility. You know, one of the Freedom Riders, a guy named Charles Person, according to his wife, he didn't even mention the fact that he was a Freedom Rider until about 15 years into their marriage. You know, that's how modest these folks were. But one thing they really taught me, too, is that anyone can be a hero. You know, you aren't born a hero. You become a hero by performing heroic acts. And so these were ordinary folks who felt strongly and were willing to put their lives on the line. And I think that's why it's such an important story today.
Is it an important story to tell today and to follow as you did the Freedom Riders Trail? You ultimately talked to them. Why is it important in 2018 to be talking about the Freedom Riders?
That's a great question. And that was sort of my primary aim. I didn't want to get the stories of what happened in the past and just leave it at that. I really wanted to ask them, where are we now? What can we do today? And I think the best example of this comes from a question that Freedom Rider Charles Person asked me, asked my students, asks a lot of folks. And it's a question that I ask folks when I talk to them during the readings. And his question is simply, what would you get on the bus for? And that question, of course, is really about what do you care about so deeply that you'd be willing to risk your life? And I think perhaps now more than ever, we have to think about that question on really pragmatic terms.
As we wrap up, do you think we're forgetting the stories of the Freedom Riders and the lessons we can learn from them?
You know, I sure hope not. Many Freedom Riders were a bit nervous about that very question. They said they worked so hard on the day-to-day fight for civil rights that they are afraid that their legacy might not inspire the next generation. And so I'm doing my very small part to make sure their voices can be heard and hopefully can do that inspirational work that they've certainly done for me.
BJ, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob.
That's BJ Hollers, Associate Professor of English at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. We've been talking about his latest book. It's called The Road South, Personal Stories of the Freedom Riders. He joined us from our studios in Eau Claire.